All right, are we making small steps this summer? Who's making a small step this summer? We've talked about this, and we've been talking about it for a few weeks now, about what our next step is for the journey and what we're doing and where God has for us. And for some of us, we've already taken a few small steps already. We've made that decision to give our life to Jesus. We've made that decision to follow through with baptism. And I'm so excited about baptism because we got to baptize Miss Angela last Sunday in a swimming pool. Tonight, we get to baptize Brian in a swimming pool, and I'm excited about that. So it's amazing what God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? And by the way, if you come to life groups tonight, we're all going to carpool out there. So we appreciate that. And we're going to see him take the plunge tonight. So we're excited about his decision to follow the Lord through baptism. And we're excited about that. But we're taking small steps. Last week, we talked about the need to take the small step to be part of a life group or a community group so we can be connected to each other and know each other. So we're not just coming to church and we're just here for Sunday morning and we see that person and we kind of see them there, but we're doing life together. We're doing something different. We're doing this for the Lord. So small steps for spiritual growth. And we're just doing it little by little for what God has for us on this journey, on this path. And if you're anything like me, I'm on like a third grade level, man. I got to have flashcards for me to understand what's going on, you know? So we're just starting from the very basics, the very beginning of what we need to do to grow. So hopefully you are growing today. Hopefully you are growing and maturing. This has been our theme verse. It's been our theme verse all summer, but we're looking at it again. It's going to continue being our theme verse, but it says this in Colossians 1:28, and it's our memory verse. So let's just read it together if we can. You ready? On three. One, two, three. Let's go. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now, that's our goal. We're taking small steps today for that reason, to be mature in our walk with God. And when we are mature in our walk with God, God will do great things. He'll bless our marriages. He'll bless our families. He'll bless our church. He will do great things when we are on that road to maturity. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be a mature Christian. And for some of us, we think, oh, well, Kenny, I'm new at this, and I'm brand new at this. I'm learning everything. Well, that's why this sermon series is for you, because it's small steps for what we need to do. Now, Greg read our passage, our main passage today. And if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts 1:8. Take your program and look on the back of that if you have it with you. But this is what Acts chapter 1 says. And this is our next small step for today. It starts off, and we'll read it again. It says, while Jesus was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, let me give you a little context, okay? Jesus has died on the cross. He has been buried, and he is resurrected from the dead, but he has not yet ascended into heaven. So these are like the last moments that he has with his disciples before he goes up in the air and a cloud covers him and he's gone and seated at the right hand of God in heaven. So these are the last words of Jesus while he's at least on earth before he ascends. These are the last words before he goes up into heaven. And he's telling them, he said, guys, he said, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. He's coming, and he's telling them that they need to wait in there, and the Spirit's going to come and fill them. And then they ask a question. They say, Jesus, you have resurrected from the dead. We know you're God. We get this. We believe you. We've seen it with our own eyes. We know that you're God. So are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And what that meant was they were asking about the end times. They were saying, okay, is the end coming now? You've resurrected from the grave. You're alive. Is the end here? And don't you love what Jesus says? He says, I ain't telling you diddly about the end times. Isn't that wonderful? He says, I'm not telling you squat about the end times. I love that. I love Jesus. He says, but here's what you do need to know. And he says, you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, that's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted Jesus to come back, restore the kingdom of Israel, the end times to come. They didn't want to hear that they had to go share the gospel and tell people about Jesus. But let's stop right there. Aren't you glad today, you sitting here, that Jesus didn't bring the end 2,000 years ago, and that allowed you to be born today, and that allowed you to come into existence, and that allowed you to know Jesus in a personal way? Aren't you glad for that today? You know, every day the Lord tarries in coming back, guess what? That's another opportunity to tell somebody else about Jesus. If we have a new day today, guess what? We should rejoice in that, that there's another opportunity to live for Him today. There's another opportunity to tell new people about Jesus. Now, we know that the disciples, they hung out, and sure enough, the Spirit came. You can read about that in the second chapter of Acts, but the Spirit came and dwelt in the believers, and now when we give our lives to Christ, He dwells in us. But I want you to know that the last words of Jesus before He was ascended was that we were to be witnesses. Now, last words are important. Last words go down in history. Last words get recorded. So let me ask you, if Jesus told us to be witnesses right before He went up into heaven, is that important, yes or no? Bingo was His name. Oh, yes it was. Big time importante, okay? This is big stuff. Jesus is wanting us to be witnesses. Now, when we start talking about witnesses, or sharing your faith, some of us are like, whoa, Kenny, I just trusted in Jesus, I just got baptized, I just came back to church for the first time in many, many years, I'm new at this. Now you're telling me that I gotta start telling people about Jesus. And I'm saying, yes. And it's not me who's telling you that, it's Jesus who's telling you that. Now, one thing that I want you to know is this is very, very important. People come to saving faith simply because they hear the gospel. They come, and the only way they can be saved is if they are presented with the gospel, and then they choose to accept Jesus as their Savior. But they have to first hear the gospel. When I say gospel, this is what I mean. I mean the message of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. They have to hear that Jesus was alive, He died, He resurrected, and now they can be saved. It all comes through hearing. Somebody told you, who told them, and it goes all the way down the history until you get to this moment when Jesus tells the disciples to go spread the word. Now, as we think about sharing our faith, this might seem not like a small step. This might seem like a gigantic step for you. But really what we're going to learn is it's not as hard as you think it is. The devil wants you to think it's really, really difficult. The devil puts that lie out there that this is the hardest thing in the world to do, to talk to people about Jesus. This is absolutely rocket science. We can't do this, blah, 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 blah. That is straight a lie from the devil. And we're going to confront that today, okay? It's not as hard as you think it is. You're hyping yourself up way too much over this, okay? It's not as hard as you think it is. But I want you to think about something real quick. The gospel must be preached. It must be told. People must hear in order to believe. Now, on the back of your program's a little interactive today. It's a little bit different than usual, but your program's a little interactive today, and we're going to look at that here in a second. But if you look at your program, the very first thing you see on there is, who told me about Jesus? Now, I don't have a fill-in-the-blank for you for this one, because for mine is very, very different than yours. But if you think about it real quick, who was the first person that told you about Jesus Christ? Scribble them down. Write their name down real quick. I don't know who it was. Could be a husband, a wife, a grandma, a grandpa, a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, a pastor. But who told you about Jesus? Who helped you to make that decision to come to know Jesus Christ? Now, as you write that name down, can we just say, praise God, they told us today. Isn't that awesome when you look at that name? You know, and they may have no idea that they had that kind of impact on you. You know, they might have not been the one that led you to the Lord. They might have just been the first person to tell you, which opened the door for you to get saved at a revival meeting or a church meeting or something like that. But just think back. Who was the first person that told you? Man, thank the Lord that somebody took time to tell you about Jesus. Aren't you grateful for that today? that somebody loved you enough to tell you about Jesus. Maybe it was in a church service. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was somebody that knocked on your door. I don't know. But who told you about Jesus for the very first time? Write their name down and just be thankful of that. Write that down as a memory. And maybe today you don't know Jesus. And you're sitting here today and say, Kenny, I'm not a Christian. He's not in my life. I need Jesus in my life. I need Christ in my life. Well, I'm telling you today, you can write Life Community Church down is where you heard it today, that Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. And it's only through Christ you can be saved. Just through Jesus. No other way. Just Jesus. Now, aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? But now, think about now, real quick, your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. How many of all your family, all your friends, all your coworkers, all your neighbors, everybody you know, everybody you come in contact, who here could say, Kenny, every one of them on my list are saved, born-again believers in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Really? Nobody? Really? I'm so proud. You guys have lives this morning. Thank God that you all just don't stay in church all the time, that you actually know people that don't know Jesus. That's a good thing. Did you know that? That's a good thing that you know people that just aren't Christians, that you know people that aren't believers, and very, very good thing. But here's the deal. Who's going to tell them about Jesus? You know, we'd like to maybe take that person that told you and say, man, I need to introduce my family members to this person. But that's just not realistic. Sometimes maybe. But realistically, who is the person that's supposed to tell your family members, your friends, your neighbors about Jesus? Who is it? Raise your hand if you know who that is. It's us. Right? Write your name down there. In that little slot, write Kenny Rager. If it was me, I'd write Kenny Rager is supposed to tell them about it. Write your name. Say, I'm supposed to tell them about Jesus. That's my God. That's my job. That's my responsibility. That is my spiritual responsibility to do this. I'm supposed to tell them about Jesus. Now, isn't that scary today that you now have people that you are accountable to share with, that you'll be held accountable for? This is responsibility as a Christian. This is a step of maturity to actually begin to realize that you are responsible and will be held accountable for telling certain people about Jesus. This is a heavy, heavy, heavy deal that we deal with. But let's talk real quick about maybe how we confront those fears, how we confront those challenges, how we confront sharing somebody when we really don't know how. Three things I want you to see real quick. First, I want you to be confident when you share Jesus. I want you to be confident. Do you see the very first part of Acts 1:8? But you will receive what? You will receive... Oh, y'all sound so excited about that. You will receive... Say that again. Come on. You will receive power. Man, this is a good word. You will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. Did you know the Greek word for this sounds a lot like our English word for dynamite? It's almost like when the Spirit comes on you, He puts dynamite inside of you. And it's explosive, and it's powerful, and it's supercharged, and it is rocking and rolling powerhouse that's placed inside of you. That when you receive the Spirit of God, He puts power inside of you. God will give you power in your life. Now, when the disciples had to wait for the Spirit, and you read in Acts 2, the Spirit came, and fire was dancing around and all this stuff, that was significant that the Spirit is now here. Now, here's what's cool. When you give your life to Jesus, at the moment of belief, the moment when you ask Jesus into your heart, did you know that the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you at that moment? It's not a separate event. It's not a separate encounter. He lives inside of you at that moment, and He begins working the fruit of the Spirit out of your life. He begins to do great things in your life, and He puts power in your life. Now, a lot of times people, when it comes to sharing their faith, they think, oh, Kenny, I am so scared to walk up to my coworker, so scared to walk up to my friend, so nervous to walk up because I just don't know what to say. Well, you got to get kind of into the spiritual realm here a little bit. You got to have some faith this morning. If you're saved and you know the Spirit's in you, you have to believe this morning. You have to believe that the power of God also resides in you. Now, aren't you glad that it didn't say when you receive power in your own flesh, or you'll receive power in this way, or you'll have to do this in your own strength? No, this is a God power that He gives you. This is a God power. So when you open your mouth to tell others about Jesus, listen, He'll give you the strength. Well, Kenny, I just don't know. I've never experienced that. Well, you've probably have never opened your mouth and let God do that. If you don't step out and risk and open and let God use you, you won't ever experience His power. You won't. You'll sit on the sidelines scared to death the whole time to tell somebody about Jesus when God is just ready to bust out of you like dynamite. And all He says, just open up. And I got it from here. Just open up. God's going to do it. And aren't you glad today that you're not required to save anybody? Now, did you hear that? You're not required to save anybody. Actually, you can't save anybody. Somebody had to save you. And it wasn't a person that told you. It was Jesus who saved you. Only Jesus saves people. You're not required to make converts. You're required to tell people. Two different fundamental ideas. You're required to tell people. And when the Spirit of God begins to move through you and you open your mouth, you may feel unqualified, you may feel inadequate, you may not know what to say, but when you let God be God, He'll move. I can't tell you how many times that I've got up on a Sunday morning and I felt unprepared. I felt just like the week has been crazy. Things have been just out of control. I didn't get my sermon together. It seemed like it was a Saturday night special. You know, everything was happening all throughout the week and I'm burning the oil on Saturday night and things are going crazy. And I get up and I think, Lord, I am just helpless today. This is just pathetic what I have to bring. I'm like bringing like two little bitty pieces of fish and some bread, and maybe it's a fish sandwich to give these people this morning. I feel so inadequate. And what blows me away, those are the days that God uses me the most. Now, why is that? Because He wants me to be a vessel, and He wants me to shine Him and for the power of God. Now, that is not an excuse for me not to do sermon preparation. Amen, right? That's not an excuse for me not to do sermon preparation. But the point is this, is that God wants just, He wants you weak. Now, I don't know how else to say that. He wants you weak. He wants you to believe that you can't do it on your own and you got to trust in Him. And when you get to that point, guess what? Dynamite goes off. And He starts using you. So when you open your mouth to tell people about Jesus, get this. God gives you power. It's not your own. It's supernatural. It is spiritual. But you got to be willing to open mouth and let God come through, okay? So be confident when you share. And second, be yourself when you share. I think some people, when they get to the point of sharing the gospel and sharing their faith, they have to have, you know, this. They feel like they have to have all the right words. They have to have all the right things rehearsed and all this and that, and they got to have Billy Graham, you know, if they're going to share, they got to have like, you know, 50 tracks stacked up and their big Bible that they smack in somebody's face, and they got to have a degree in theology and all this stuff in order to tell people about Jesus. And I'm telling you, that's not the case. You look what it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be what? My witnesses. Now, do you know what a witness is? This isn't rocket science. A witness is somebody that sees something. And a witness is somebody who sees something and then what? Tells other people about what they have seen. So we're not talking rocket science. We're talking about relaying and communicating your own personal experience with Jesus. Notice what He didn't say. He did not say, you'll be my theologians. Did He say that? You will be my theologians. You will know classic and ancient Greek and Hebrew. You should be able to read the lexicon back and forth. You should be able to do this with a Greek verb and that with a Greek verb. And you should be able to recant all the theological, eschatological views of ecclesiology that's been here for all of history. You're like, what is that? You don't have to know. He doesn't ask you to be a debater. He doesn't ask you to go on there guns blazing and you're in for a good fight. He's not asking of that. He's not asking you ready for this? He's not asking you to be a preacher. He's not asking you to write a sermon. Now, is there room for theologians in the kingdom of God? Yes or no? We need them, absolutely. are there rooms for those that can really know how to be persuasive in a conversation and debate? Yeah, there is. There is. Now, is there need for preachers in the kingdom to talk to their flocks? I hope so. Amen? All right? I hope so. But check this. He's asking you today to be a witness, which means what? Tell your story. You know what's awesome about telling people your story about Jesus? It's really hard for them to argue with it. Did you know that? When you tell them what Jesus has done for you, it's really hard to combat that because they weren't there. And guess who was there? You were. You are an expert on your own life. And if you know Jesus is in your heart, you may not be able to tell what stories or what in the Old Testament or what stories are in the New Testament or what a Greek verb, blah, 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 Hebrew verb is this or that. You can't do any of that. But you can say, you know what? I once was lost, and I believe Jesus came into my life, and I believe he saved me. I put my faith in him. I know I'm saved, and look what he's done for my life. You know what? If you're able to do that, you can tell somebody about Jesus. Is that encouraging today? If you can just relay your story, that's it. Just tell your story. And you know, it doesn't have to be some dramatic explanation and this retelling of history. And some people will say, Kenny, I just don't have a very good testimony. They'll say, I grew up in church. I accepted the Lord. I gave my life to Jesus, but I was never strung out on drugs. I never, you know, got into bar fights. I never did this or that. Stop just for a second. There is no such thing as a bad testimony, because it's not about you to begin with. It's about Jesus. You ready for this? The same blood of Jesus that covers the vilest sinner on earth is the same blood of Jesus that has to cover a little boy or a little girl who spends their whole life in church. Do you know that? Your story is what Jesus has done for you. Well, I just don't feel like it's powerful. Hey, it is. Because it's what Jesus has done. Don't sell yourself short. That's exactly what the devil wants. It doesn't have to be long. For example, I was 7 years old when Jesus came into my life. My mother told me the gospel. I accepted the Lord on my living room couch on a Sunday night. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed Jesus. And I knew that he needed to come into my life. And he's transformed me. He's put me in ministry. And he's done great things. And I know he's in my life. That's my story in less than a minute. Less than a minute. But here's the deal. You can do that too, because it's your story. Y'all with me on that today? It's your story. So tell your story. Tell it with confidence. Tell it that when you open your mouth and you tell your story, the Spirit's going to let off a stick of dynamite when he does that. Trust God to do the work. So be yourself when you share. Third, this is the big one. Be aware of your mission field. All right, Kenny, mission field. We need to go to Africa, right? We need to go to Honduras. That's where I've been. I've been to Honduras 8 times. We need to go to Honduras. We need to go to Russia. We need to go to Guatemala. We need to go to Canada. We need to go to Mexico. And the answer is, yeah, we do need to go to Mexico, Canada, Guatemala. We need to take the gospel everywhere, right? Everywhere. The gospel needs to go everywhere. Our church is very passionate about missions. So you know what? We're going to be taking a mission trip this upcoming Sunday to work in Princeton, Kentucky. This upcoming Saturday to work in Princeton, Kentucky to help out with a clothes closet there and to do ministry and to learn about ministry. And it's going to be great. It's going to be really good. You know, we need to be going one day. I would love for us to take mission trips to New York City and maybe to Indianapolis and maybe to Miami. I'd love to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. I hope to be able to take some of you all to Honduras back with me when our babies get a little bit older and I can go back out, I can leave the country again. You know, we're on no country leave until they get a little bit older, okay? But when that happens, we're going to go back. And maybe some of you all will go with me. We can do that. But your mission field is not just foreign countries. It's so much bigger than what you think it is. Now, notice what he said. He said, if you go back to the passage, you will be my witnesses. You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. And let's just read this out loud. In Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I want you just to notice the order that this is in. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, okay? Now, this was strategic. When Jesus told them to do this, where were they? Does anybody remember what city they were in when he told them this? They were in Jerusalem. He told them Jerusalem first. Now, if Jerusalem, that's a little bit different for our sake today to help us understand. This is the best way to say it, okay? Jerusalem was kind of like Owensboro, okay? Kind of like Owensboro. Judea would have been like Kentucky. Does that make sense? This is still their people, but it's not their hometown, okay? Samaria was another country above them, but still had some Jewish connections to it a little bit. So imagine Jerusalem kind of like Owensboro and Judea kind of like Kentucky. And this is not exactly the right illustration, but you get the point. Imagine Samaria kind of like the United States, okay? And then imagine the ends of the earth as everywhere else, all other countries. And see, they were supposed to start sharing the gospel in Jerusalem, move out to the state, then move out to the nation, and then move out into the world. So Jesus gave them a method to start here and to work your way out. Now, here's what I think is amazing. If you begin to apply the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth to your own life, and you begin to notice that you have a very specific mission field. Because when I say, okay, we need to be a witness in Kentucky and the United States and in the globe, we think, all right, that's great. Let's send money to missions, and that's our way of doing it. Amen? But I'm going to make it a little bit more personal for you today. Can I do that today? Can I make it a little bit more personal? Let's do that, shall we? Let's think of our Judea today as those that's closest to us. So you see on your program, I got it again, right? Who in your family needs Jesus? That's your Judea. That's your Jerusalem. That's your Jerusalem. Write their name down. We're getting real personal today. Write their name down. Who in your family needs the Lord Jesus Christ? Write their name down. Who needs Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Now think of Judea. Those that are still close to you, but aren't as close as maybe your family. Think of your friends. Which one of your friends needs Jesus? Write their name down. Literally write their name down. Which one of your friends needs Jesus Christ? Go to the next one. Samaria. People that you know but you're not super friends with, super close. Which one of your neighbors need Jesus Christ? Which one of your coworkers need Jesus? Somebody you work with. Write their name down. Then think about the ends of the earth. Now, I didn't want to put this on the program, but this is the best way to say it. Who's that dude at Walmart that needs Jesus that you don't really know his name, but he's there? Y'all with me on that today? Who's that cat at the gas station that you happen just to, for whatever reason, he's always there? What about that guy who comes into work? For whatever reason, God's drawn you. Y'all with me on that today? You don't even know their name. You might write, God, dude with blue shirt for the ends of the earth. Cat at gas station. But you know who it is. Now, you got your blanks filled in? Do me a favor. Look at that. Are you aware that's who God has called you to share the gospel with? Whose responsibility is it to tell those particular people about Jesus? Who is it? It's ours. How will they ever hear unless they're told? Somebody might get a little deep and say, Kenny, will we be held accountable for that? I think so. I think so. Is that hard? Is that tough? Yes. Ezekiel said, if you are the watchman and you don't blow the horn, woe to you, is what he said. That's tough. Kenny, I thought this was small steps. Amen. I'm about to have a heart attack, Kenny. I thought this was small steps. But I know that you can do this. So you have people on a list right now that need Jesus. They need the dynamite power of the Spirit of God. And I just, in closing, I want to tell you this. This church is very, very concerned about winning people to Jesus. Guys, I want to see more baptisms, don't you? A Life Community. I want to see us become Isn't it just exciting when somebody comes forward and professes their faith? Doesn't that just light your fire? And I want to see more of that at our church. And I believe God is building a community here in our church that is very passionate about missions. You know, our mission statement is live, learn, and love, that we live by being connected to Christ and the church. We learn by being connected to a small group, and we love by serving Christ. And I want us to be full of people that love Jesus so much that we tell other people about Jesus. And you know, I really believe God is already doing this in our church. He's making us a very compassionate, soul-winning church. He's making us a church that's very concerned by the lost. Now, how do I know that? Because here's how I know that. There are people that come here every morning at 8 o'clock on Sundays. They sacrifice their whole Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. They set these chairs up. They set these projectors up. They tune up the praise band. They get the kids' church ready. Why? So people can hear about Jesus. I think about those that volunteer that say, hey, you know, I've never really served in a kids' church before, but I know we need it, and I know that kids need to hear about Jesus. I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone to hold a baby, to tell a baby about Jesus, to tell a kid about Jesus, because we are a church that wants people to be saved. I think about those that are patient with this church, because we're not together. Y'all are aware of that, right? We have cables everywhere. If you don't believe that we're not all together, go watch how we load this trailer. It's an act of God, okay? It's an act of God that happens on Sunday mornings, okay? But why do people haul this equipment, push in chairs, and do this and that? You ready? Because we want to see people get saved. That's why. Why do we come early? Why do we volunteer? Why do we do all of this? Why are we just running crazy sometimes on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning? You ready? Because we want to see people get saved. That's why. Because we want to see them come to know the Lord. Hey, I'm thankful today for those that financially sacrifice, for those that give their tithes, and those that give their offerings so we can use this money for the kingdom of God. I thank the Lord for those that do that. Because as we do that and we grow and we're on our way to self-sustainability, we're going to be a church that wins the nations. I know we are. We're going to be a church that wins people all over the world. And as we financially and sacrificially give to that, God will bless it as we win people to Jesus. You know, I imagine the impact that this church will have when we grow and as we continue to win people to Jesus. I imagine a fully funded church that's doing ministry, paying our own bills, doing great things for the gospel. I imagine that. I believe it's going to happen. I believe that we will be a fully constituted church within the next couple of years, making our own decisions under the leadership of God and growing and doing ministries. I believe one day we're going to get a building. Don't you? I believe we're going to get a building. And you know what's cool? That building's not going to be for us. We're not going to argue about the carpet color. We're not going to care about this or that. We're going to use it to win people to Jesus. Why? Because we lived in the wilderness for a while and we know what it's like and we like it like that. That's how we roll. One day, I believe, listen, I believe one day, when we constitute, when we're charter, we're going to bring on a young man. We're going to bring on somebody who's called to plant a church. And when we charter and we constitute, we're going to be investing into a church planter from the very beginning. And we're going to work with that cat. And we're going to get him ready for a year. North American Mission Board is going to help fund him. They don't know that yet, but they are, okay? They're going to help fund that guy. They don't know yet, but they are. And he's going to come and he's going to serve with us for a year. And he's going to go out and start churches underneath our church. Somebody said, well, Kenny, we're going to be a church plant church. Does that mean you're going to go and start other churches? No, I'm with y'all, okay? I'm sorry. I'm with you guys. I'm staying, okay? But we're going to be sending people out. Isn't that awesome? We're going to be sending them out. You know, I imagine one day to be able, like I said earlier, to send mission teams all across the globe. I'm envisioning that. I'm praying for that. I'm excited. But you know, all that big picture stuff begins with one small step. You ready? Here's where it all comes back. You ready? If we don't take the small step. Remember how I told you small step, you thought it was big? That stuff I just told you is big steps. Huge. Here's the small step. Y'all want to grow as a church? Y'all want to constitute as a church? Y'all want that? You ready? We got to get serious about telling people about Jesus. That's it. Because when you get serious and you take the small step to share your faith, and every Sunday you're looking for the craziest, vilest sinner who's as nasty as can be in Owensboro, and you're bringing them to church with you every Sunday morning, and they're getting saved. When you're doing that every Sunday, you're looking for an opportunity. Who can I take with me to Life Community? You roll all over the neighborhood, bringing as many people as you can. And you get serious. God will grow a great church. He'll grow a great church. But we must be ready to take the small step of telling somebody about Jesus. You got your list. Why don't you start there? Is that a good place to start? Yes or no? Why don't we start there? You know, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as our praise band comes and plays softly, and Taryn can just kick off on the piano first. And we have people that we need to pray for today. That we need to pray that God releases strongholds in their life, and that God convicts them, and that God changes lives. We need to come and just lay them down at the feet of Jesus. We need to pray that God gives us confidence and power. And I encourage you, I invite you to do that. Maybe today you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus. I'm telling you, man, He is awesome. He's worth it. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. He rose again. All for us. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I challenge you to come and give your life to Jesus. Maybe today you're so excited about Life Community growing and becoming the church that God wants it to be. But here's your role. And you never realized your role until today. Your role is to bring the lost here. That's your role. That's your job, for them to know Jesus. Father, we love You. And today as we worship You, we ask You to give us a heart for the lost. Lord, I pray that we'll just come to the altar today and just pray for those that don't know Jesus. Pray for them. That they'll be saved. That, Lord, that we'll pray that we'll have the confidence to tell people about Jesus. So Lord, today, move in Your way, and only You know how. Change hearts. Help us, God, to love You. We pray in Your name. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Respond today as God lays.